All right, we like our Thursdays with Sean Estes. Always a good signpost that a weekend is coming and some Giants baseball has been in the books. And we could talk to Sean about a whole week in which they took care of business at home, man. Took 2 out of 3 from the Padres, took 2 straight from Texas, continued their winning ways, and now head to a just sort of a random road trip to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati where they got to keep their focus against a couple of NL Central teams that they don't really have much history with. But Sean, lots to get to. Good to have you on the UMA guest line back on the Murph and Mac show. How you doing this morning, Sean?
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Doing well. Back in the Bay. So ready to jump on the broadcast with Kai tonight. Pumped.
Oh, great. You're doing the game.
I am, yeah. I'm doing the next 7 out of 8 games.
Nice.
Yeah, the last game against Cincinnati is a YouTube game. So we don't, NBC Sports Bay Area doesn't have the game. So yeah, I'm going to do the next 7.
Dude, tell us what it's like to riff with Kipe on a game. I mean, they call him Smooth.
He's
Sean.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? It's it's easy, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Easy is the word.
That's true.
No, he's obviously one of the best. But yeah, if you had a guy to pick to work with, you know, for a living, he's the guy to do it. Yeah, he makes you feel pretty comfortable. But you know, I feel like a substitute teacher, you know, coming in and a substitute like with the teacher that the kids really like.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, you might get like half the kids to like you as a sub, and
totally.
The other half don't, but they're always really looking forward to the real team.
Yeah, they're like, when's our regular broadcaster coming back, Mr. Estes? Yeah.
But you know what? All you can do is go out and do your best.
Totally.
You know?
Oh, yeah. You do great.
No, it's great.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it, man. In fact, looking back before we look forward, that homestand, you know, I mean, they took care of the Padres again. They've won 5 out of 9 from the Padres, and then no letdown at all against Texas, and the pitching continues to carry them. What did you see in this last homestand that the team carries into this road trip? What are they as they get on that plane and they fly to Pittsburgh, what do you think they're thinking about?
Well, they're thinking about continuing to do the things that they've been doing well. Obviously, they've been much better at home, best home team in the major leagues. They've scuffled a little bit on the road. I think the 8-10 record's not indicative of how they've played. If you look at some of those losses they've had, they've been, you know, usually bullpen, couple bullpen implosions. Easily could have probably won 3 or 4 more games on the road. Should have probably won 2 for sure. So if you get those 2 wins, that's a 4-game difference. You flip the script, you're 10-8, right? So it looks a lot better. So they feel like they're playing much better on the road than their record shows. So they're carrying a lot of confidence, you know, going into Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, and regardless if it's on the road or not. And you gain that confidence by how you play as a team and how you play at home, and you gain some momentum. That's the goal. So you can go on the road, and you get 2 4-game series now. So it's, you know, it's tough to win series on the road, even if it's 3-game, but 4-game, even tougher. You have to win 3 out of 4. So when you're facing a team in the Pirates that you feel like that you should beat, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games, so they're not playing great baseball, but you have to go out there and do the things that make up winning baseball, which they've done very well. Obviously, you know, it's pretty simple. If you get really good starting pitching, you get some great defense behind them, you get some timely hitting, and then you have a solid bullpen, you win a lot of games. And so that's been the formula, right? I mean, it wasn't like Texas came in, you know, they came in pretty hot, you know, swinging the bat. They led the major leagues in home runs in the month of May. So to do what that pitching staff did, to hold that Texas offense to as few runs as they did, keep them in the ballpark, was pretty impressive pitching-wise. And we've been talking about it all year. Starting pitching is the key. The defense is the key. They've had 10 errors all year, or 11 errors.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I mean, and a lot of people will say, you know, defensively that, you know, well, maybe they don't get to some balls that other people do. Bull crap. I don't want to hear that. As a pitcher, I want my defense to make the routine play. That's all I care about. You make the play, the ball hit at you. Hard, soft, whatever it is. They've been doing it better than anybody in the big leagues this year. So I think a lot of credit has to be given to the defense this year, because I know there was a lot of people that said this isn't a very good defensive team coming into the season. And they've done a tremendous job. And as a pitcher, you have to appreciate that as a pitcher. So I just think they're doing everything right now, and they're rolling, and they got a lot of confidence, and that's what you want when you're going on the road for not just eight games, but then, well, no, they got the Dodgers after that, so coming home, but, you know, so eight games on the road, you want to have some confidence and some momentum.
I agree with you on the defense. I'm shocked. I mean, we were certain that they were going to be a bad defensive team, and they're not.
No.
I mean, without a real regular second baseman, and La Cella was supposed to be not a great glove, Solano, Flores, these guys. But, you know, it's funny, we talked about that. Belt's a gold glover, Crawford's a gold glover, Longoria's like, maybe we should have respected those guys a little bit more. Maybe the outfield is what they were talking about with Dubon in center, but they've kind of made the move to Duggar a lot against right-handers, and actually, that's something I wanted to talk to you about, Sean, because I remember when the Talkman trade went down, you said specifically, you're just like, man, I had hopes for Duggar. It's kind of a bummer for him. It surprised me. Like, even with the Talkman trade, they're like, yes, Steven, by the way, you're going to come up and you're going to be a big part of our team. Isn't that – it's been an unusual and interesting development, hasn't it?
I mean, so interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because I specifically remember telling you that I thought it was the end of Duggar's career as a Giant. I mean, or, you know, I just didn't see him fitting into the picture this year unless there was an injury or two. Just based on the move they made, it made all the sense in the world that they just didn't have the confidence in Duggar. But they saw enough at the alternate site or, you know, where he was at the time, where he'd made some swing adjustments, and they gave him another opportunity. And thank goodness they did, right? I mean, he's locked down in center field. Talkman being in the outfield, too, we have to mention that. I mean, he can play center, but he's now been playing a corner position with Duggar out there, so that makes their defense in the outfield that much better. But Duggar's been so impressive at the plate. Just the quality of at-bats. You just don't see as much swing and miss out of him. He just seems to be a lot more confident. His swing's a lot more simple. He's quicker to the ball. He's actually more patient in the box now. And that comes with reps, but it also comes with some confidence in knowing your swing. And I think that getting together with the hitting coaches that they have, I mean, to a man, everybody says how great these guys are and how prepared they are and how their thoughts of the swing and just the preparation they give these guys prior to getting in the box is paramount. I mean, just gives them a lot more confidence when they do get in the box. So it's paying off, man. I'm glad because he's been one of my favorite guys. I mean, obviously he's a pitcher. I love guys that they can go out there and run it down defensively and make great plays, sell out, give their body up. And that's been the issue with him in the past is just being able to stay healthy because he plays so hard and he gets dirty. And you like that as a player, but at the same time, you want to keep him on the field. So far, so good on that front, but just impressive to see what he's been able to do in the box since he's been back up with the Giants.
You know, it's funny. We're talking to Sean Estes, who will be on the broadcast tonight with Dwayne Kuiper on NBC Sports Bay Area. Of course, John and Dave on the radio on KMBR 104.5 and 680. Early start, 3:35, 2:35 pregame on KMBR. It's funny, we talk about the hitting, and I'm looking at their team stats this year, Sean. You know, they're only one guy's hitting over 300, and it's Buster by a mile. He's hitting 385. But for
who's closest to him?
Batting average is done.
Who's got the second
Longoria,
highest?
Longoria, 263.
Wow. That's the second highest average.
The batting average is over, Sean. I mean, it doesn't.
I still like a good batting average. I don't know. Sean, am I crazy? I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a good way to measure a hitter. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I agree. I like to see a good batting average as well, a good team batting average, you know, around 280. That's always nice to see. But, it definitely is an overrated stat these days, along with pitchers' wins. Just because, you know, it's really about the OPS, you know. It's about getting on base. It's about slugging, period. And all these guys have pretty good OPSs. Well, they will. I mean, there's trending in the right direction, let's say. But, yeah, I mean, really, it's all about hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and they've done a great job of that this year. Obviously, we talked a lot about it in April, a lot of solo shots, but now they're starting to hit some two- and three-run shots as well, but more crooked number, home runs up on the board. So, you know, I just really think it's their approach. They may not get hits, you know, for average, but they definitely wear you down. I look at their lineup as if I had to face them you're going out there and you're earning your paycheck that day because you're going to have to grind. You're going to have to make quality pitches in the strike zone. You're going to have to really battle. You're going to have to throw a lot of pitches. You're going to have to stay focused because that's what the offense does. They just wear you down. They foul off tough pitches. They don't swing at balls. They don't chase a whole lot. So they don't get themselves out. You have to get them out as a pitcher. So over the course of a game, you pitch five innings. You feel, sometimes you feel like you pitch nine. You know, you have 100 pitches through five innings, and you're beat. You got a headache after the game for sure. So I think the offense more so, that's what they do to you. And now, they're, you know, and because of that, you know, they get to see a lot of pitches. The guy on deck gets to see a lot of pitches. That makes them better hitters when you need hits. It makes them better hitters when pitchers make mistakes, so they can hit the ball out of the ballpark. So just really fun to see what they're doing right now offensively, just getting the big hit. And every guy, you know, that's what I say, you know, every guy, it's all hands on deck every day. You don't see that with teams these days. It's just everybody has a chance to play and contribute on a given day based on platoon matchups. You better be ready. You better be focused. And when you come off the bench, you're prepared because you've done it before. Then you saw Dubon the other night have a great at bat, get the biggest hit of that game, maybe the biggest hit of the year for him. So everybody's contributing top to bottom. Obviously, Buster's the standout offensively right now, but that's not a bad guy to have in the middle of the order, right? After everybody had doubts about him coming into the season. So fun team to watch, all facets of the game.
We were going to say, and we're talking to Sean Estes here, as the Giants go to Pittsburgh for a four-game set against one of the worst teams in the National League. It's funny, you mentioned OPS, how that's the thing now. I just looked it up. So the Giants are 10th in baseball. Pretty good, you know, top third. The Pirates are 28th.
Ooh.
They can't hit. So, I mean, the Giants have a chance to really kind of feast here on this. And I was just looking up their home run totals. The Pirates' leading home run hitter has 4. The Giants have 2 guys with 8 and 2 guys with 7. So, I mean, the Giants are rolling in with their big muscles flexing, and here are the pipsqueak Pirates on the other side, right? So you got to...
Well, I don't know, man. I don't want to say that, and I won't say they can't hit, just because I've always been told every hitter with a bat in his hand is dangerous.
Oh, of course.
You know, they can get in even a pitcher. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. But you still have to go out there, and you have to make your pitches. You know, you can't throw your glove out there and win games. So I never would like to take teams lightly because, especially the first time you face a lot of these guys, you know, just Glafani, fortunately for him, he was in the Central for most of his career. So he's seen a handful of these Pirates hitters. But, you know, when you don't see teams like that and there's some young guys that you haven't faced, they can be dangerous too. You know, obviously scouting reports are there, but until you actually face a guy for the first time, see his approach. I always felt that, you know, you possibly could have the advantage as a pitcher facing a guy for the first time, but a lot of times, too, you don't know his tendencies, his approach. And you know, sometimes it takes one big swing of the bat, and it turns the game around. So you still have to be focused. You still have to go out there and make your pitches, execute, you know, no matter who you're facing.
For sure. It's Dee Sclafani tonight, as you mentioned, against a guy named Will Crow and the Pirates. And it'll be interesting. It'll be a low-energy game. Probably not very many fans out there. And we'll see what they do at 3:35 today. Just a little bit around baseball, Sean, just because I like to ask. You know, we have you once a week here. And I've been asking Crook and Kipe about this guy. I'd love to get your thoughts on just Shohei Ohtani is making history. And I don't know if any of us are fully appreciate. I'm trying to fully appreciate it on the air. I'm trying to talk about it as much as I can, but the Angels don't really move the needle. It's May, you know, it's not October. I don't know. Did you ever see anybody who you thought, oh man, this guy could be doing it all. He's not getting the opportunity. I mean, like Don Robinson could hit back in the day. I don't know, but I'm just wondering, like, are you knowing what it takes to succeed as a major league pitcher and knowing what it takes to succeed as a major league hitter, is this guy the greatest player you've seen in years? I mean, what's going on here?
He's unbelievable. I mean, when you have Kevin Durant tweeting about this dude, you know he's pretty good.
Yeah.
he's on notice right now. So, yeah, I don't think anybody I've ever seen, at least in when I was playing, you know, growing up watching baseball, there's nobody that compares to what he's doing. Nobody, you know, threw 100, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Right. First, it's a pitcher with just the nasty stuff that he features. That in itself is pretty impressive. But then to go out there and hit bombs, to be the fastest guy on your team, you know, to have the strongest arm, to play great defense, to do it all. I mean, the guy's a unicorn, man. I just, I don't, he impresses me. Obviously, pressing everybody right now. What he's doing, well, I don't think it'll ever be done again. It's hard for me to imagine that, you know, as many reps as he gets, you know, pitching and hitting, that you can stay healthy for a full season, which he hasn't been able to do. That's been the one knock on him. But how can you stay healthy for a full season, put your body, you know, through all that? I just think that there's nobody, it's unprecedented, so there's no like formula. And you're kind of, Madden and company are trying to figure it out as they go. And, you know, so far it hadn't worked, but this year he is. He's staying on the field and he's been impressive.
Yeah, funny you told me that. I hadn't seen that Kevin Durant tweet. He said, some guy let him know, said, you seeing this, Kevin Durant? Durant tweeted, different breed. Trading for him now in the show. Trey Turner might have to dip, LOL. So he's trading.
Yeah. I like that. I like him dropping takes. Yeah.
Dropping Trey, yeah. And then Trey responded, does that mean I'm on the bench or am I cut?
Yeah, Turner tweeted.
Off the team or just sit in the pine?
Yes, Trey Turner says, still don't know if I've been benched or traded. Hey, Sean, have you ever dabbled in MLB The Show?
No, I haven't. I have not.
Don't
no,
you? You have an older? Don't you have an older son? Maybe or might have done it. Or
I have two teenage kids that play it. Yeah, but I haven't. All no. Right.
Do they ever use you in like one of those retro games?
No, I have. Well, you know what? I actually think they have. Yes, they have. They did mention that once. They did use me, and my son was like, "Dad, I used you, but you know, you started to fade after five."
Oh, the five and dive. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Dive on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a good curve. He's like, I liked your curveball. He could get a lot of strikeouts with it, but I couldn't use it too much because then you had nothing left in the tank.
Man, that is hilarious. So, and that's all part of, not to get into the economics of it, but yeah. you're because you're part of MLBPA and the pension plan, that they license your name through all that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You think so? You better call your agent, Sean.
You should look into that. Sean's getting a check every month.
Well, I was always thinking about this, how all these players are just kind of... Because I don't think Barry Bonds is in it, right? Because he didn't join the...
Sean calls his agent and his agent's like, I can't talk to you right now, Sean. I'm hanging out in Maui. I think we've just figured out who funded that vacation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Your royalty money sent him to Maui. Yeah.
I don't even know if my agent would answer my call. I'm going to definitely have to look into that. Yeah. I know as a player, you're part of the whole licensing when you're playing, but when you're done, I don't think so.
That's hilarious, man. I got to believe you guys.
You're part of it.
You played, you hit 10 in the bigs, right? You're good. Like you're part of the pension plan, right?
Yeah, you get 10. Well, you're fully vested, yes. Yeah, so that's the goal. That's why everybody, you know, that they're shooting for 10. After 10, it's gravy. You know, you're not getting any more, but you're maxed out at 10 years.
And that's why, like, don't they do that in clubhouses when a guy hits 10 years? Isn't there like a big celebration behind closed doors?
Yeah, no, to celebrate 10 for sure. It's like your first hit, you know, first home run, 10 years. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a beer shower.
I got you with 13, according to Baseball Reference. 13 years for Sean Estes in the big. So congrats on that, man.
I think 13. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think about 10 or 11 healthy, but...
Oh, what does the MLB count? Do they count full seasons or just parts of seasons or what?
Yeah, parts. I think it's parts. Because I came up September of 95 for a cup of coffee, and then All-Star break in 96, I was there to stay. In 2006, I had Tommy John, so I missed that whole year. 07, I wasn't on the big league roster. They count even when you're hurt and you're on the roster. So, nice. You know, even if you don't play a year, you get credit, you get service time.
Yeah, good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, I don't know if you follow this story at all. It's just kind of a national story, and it's on the front of the Sporting Green. This kid, Drew Robinson, with the horrific story of tried to take his own life, lost his eye, somehow survived it. Now he's back playing baseball, and the Giants picked him up, put him on AAA Sacramento, and he hit a home run this week. It was a big deal. Right. I don't know if you followed that story, and I don't know if maybe he's a guy that – come September, gets a call. I don't know, but Sean, I mean, his story's kind of remarkable, huh?
Goes.
Yeah.
But my goodness, what a story, right? I mean, I watched that home run and I got choked up watching it. A lot of emotions watching that home run.
Yeah.
I mean, his family was there. They took the video. That's just got to be such an out of body experience for him, to say the least. You know, just to see how far he's come in the last year, and to have the opportunity again just to put on a professional uniform and then go out there and know that you can still do it. I think there's a lot of doubts about physically if you can still do it. I mean, it's tough enough to play the game with two eyes you can see out of, let alone one, right? I mean, I think that was the big thing. Is that, you know, the blind spot there, are you going to be able to see the ball, the spin of the ball? I mean, what's going on? And he started out a little slow, but man, hitting that home run had to be just euphoric for him. But I love the story. I love that they're bringing to light the mental illness and not just, you know, sports, but in life, you know, in general, that it's not a weakness, you know, that it's something that you can get help for and you're not alone, you know? So I think that a lot of good is going to come out of the Drew Robinson story.
Yeah, agreed. And we'll see. Kyle Haynes still, the Chronicle, he said, my first reaction, I was so happy for Drew. He says, but also to take the pressure off his shoulders and show people that this isn't the story of a guy making a comeback. He's actually a really good baseball player. I mean, that's, you know, he gets to go play baseball now. And it's a doubled off the wall later in the game. So we'll continue to follow that one. And I'm glad you saw that, man. So, well, dude, listen, we don't want to wear out your vocal cords before tonight's game. This is going to be cool. You got you all series in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And we'll see if the Giants can kind of keep this intensity up against a team that, you know, you feel like you can go get them. But like you said, you know, I mean, this is, you know, the big league hitters. Brian Reynolds, the ex-Giant, he'll want to hurt him. For sure, he's a good player. But the Giants are set up. They're just, I mean, Kapler seems to be pressing the right buttons, and you go into Pittsburgh. Heck, Sean, I'm thinking 3 out of 4 minimum.
Well, yeah, get greedy, why don't you?
Right, totally. Yeah.
You got it. I mean, they're actually cleaned up on teams they should be, and that's when you're going to have championship seasons, and you look back to all their World Series teams, they beat the teams under 500. I just looked at something the other day. I believe that against teams that are above 500, they were under 500 against, but they crushed teams that were under 500. So they beat the teams they should beat. And that's a formula for getting into the playoffs. And then when you get into the playoffs, we all know what can happen. So that's the hard part, right? Getting in there. And then it's anybody's game at that point. So, they're doing what they should do right now. Cincinnati's playing a little bit better, but let's not put the cart in front of the horse here. Pittsburgh is the task at hand. So yeah, I think 3 out of 4 would be huge. And you know, you can't sweep unless you win the first three, right? So then you get greedy on game four. But really, it's all about, you hear Kapler talk about it all the time, one game at a time. Looking forward, it's D. Sclafani tonight, and he needs to continue, you know, being consistent, doing what he's done. I mean, they've created a pretty good three-headed monster at the front end of that rotation with him, Gossman, and Wood now. That gives your team a chance to win every time those guys go out there and pitch. So it's win day, right?
It's win day with
Disco tonight.
Yeah, and by the way, this starts a stretch of 14 of the next 17 on the road. So we'll see how they react to it. The only home games are these three against the Dodgers next Friday.
Right, so they are, yeah. So they come home against the Dodgers after this road, and then they go back on again.
Yeah, at Arizona, at L.A. So back into your turf there a little bit. But so when we talk to you next Thursday, it'll be the morning of that getaway game in Cincinnati, and we'll have a good report card of how they handled this NL Central road trip, and then we'll amp up the Dodger series. So good stuff, Sean.
Yeah.
Look forward to the broadcast, man. We'll be hearing you for the next several days.
Have a good call, Sean. Yeah,
go do it, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys, but I'll try to entertain you a little bit.
You're all good, bro.
Substitute teacher.
You're good.
We're not going to throw any spit wads from the back of the class, all right?
Yeah, just listen to type, you know, and defer to him.
No, we're good. We're looking forward to it, man. Take care, Sean.
Okay, guys.
There he is. Fun stuff, man. Sean Estes on the call tonight. Paul, you are listening to the KNBR Morning Show on KNBR and KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader. Those Thursday chats with Sean.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Tuesdays with Maury, Thursdays with Sean.
All right.
That's how we do it.
Top 6 sports stories. We got the cooler of content. You got Matty Barrows.
Yeah.
It's a great Thursday. Got the Giants in Pittsburgh on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.